Imagine a situation where, if like right now, you wake up, you've won the election, you're Kentucky's next U.S. Senator.
Yeah.
You've been sworn in, you've gone through the orientation.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a honeymoon process. When you get down to business, when you think ahead, if this was reality, and I know that as a freshman senator from anywhere, you may not, the person may not get everything they want.
Yeah.
But what's the first thing? And I know there's a list of things.
Right.
But if you had to choose one thing that you would want to throw yourself into to accomplish in the U.S. Senate at the federal level that would have, in your mind, the most impact on Kentuckians, that thing is?
I think you got to get drug prices down. I think you got to look at health care and get accessible and affordable health care. So things like having the public option, being able to buy a government insurance plan. I think that's something that we should have done years ago. I think getting drug prices down by having things like basic reasonable things, by the way, that can be done very quickly, like having Medicare be able to negotiate drug prices. I mean, these are basic things. So I think all of those things, I mean, if I were to be elected senator, I would basically have a chalkboard and I would start writing up all of the things that people have talked to me and all the things that I campaigned on, better education, more investment in infrastructure, more investment in better health care for people. And that's what I would do. I would write it down and I would say, hey, what are the long term? What are the easy things we can do, like right off the bat? Like drug prices, Medicare renegotiate, that's in law right now. Let's just change the law, you know? I know why it's not changed right now. It's not changed because Mitch McConnell's bought off by Big Pharma. So if you can get him out, you can do some of these things. And so there are some short-term things, and then there's some long-term things, right? Infrastructure is something that we can do, but it's got to be thought out. It's got to be done, you know?
You ran a close competitive race for the 6th congressional House seat, came close but lost. If someone's a skeptic and looks at this and says, with all due respect, if Amy McGrath couldn't win a U.S. House race, why should I believe that she could win a statewide race?
Well, one, it sort of came out of nowhere. And I mean, a lot of politics is name recognition and getting out there and being a first time candidate. Look, when you play a game for the first time that you've never played before, you learn a lot. And I learned a lot in the last race, you know, and we came very, very close. And for a first time candidate, that's awesome. And in addition, we created a movement that really is basically centered on my main message, which is let's put our country and Kentucky above our political party. You know, I was somebody who I was an independent for many years. I was a military officer. I served the country first. My husband's a lifelong Republican. I'm a Democrat. My father was a Republican. My mother's a Democrat. I mean, that's America. That's Kentucky. And I think that we need to get back to that. And that core message is something that really resonated. And so, you know, I think that running statewide is definitely something that we can do and win. And the other thing is, this is a different race. I mean, Mitch McConnell is not well-liked. And a lot of people are starting to get it. Hey, he's been there 34 years. That's a lot longer than the founders really designed or wanted anybody to serve. And he's, you know, so many Kentuckians hate what's going on in Washington, the dysfunction, the fact that, you know, they look at Washington as the swamp. I mean, that's why a lot of people voted for President Trump, to drain the swamp. And we hear about it all the time. Well, who built that? Who built that swamp? Well, Senator Mitch McConnell was a big part of that. And this is the system that he built. And so I think that there's a way here to defeat him, or I wouldn't be doing it.
You bring up President Trump. There's been some questions since the rollout of this Senate campaign about how exactly you feel about President Trump. There were some statements you made during the U.S. House race, which seemed much more adversarial. There's been some things you've said since then, and I think, if not necessarily flattering of President Trump, it seemed a bit more conciliatory. So sitting here now, what does Amy McGrath think about President Trump and working with President Trump?
Well, this is always the way I've felt, and this is also the biggest difference between myself and Mitch McConnell. I am pro-Kentucky. So this isn't about being pro or anti-president. And what's different about me than Mitch McConnell is I will work with any president, regardless of whether he or she wears a red jersey or a blue jersey, to do what's right for Kentucky and for our country. And that's what we need to get back to. To me, if it's a good idea, the first thing that I think about is, well, is that idea from a Democrat or a Republican? No, the first thing you should think about is it a good idea? And is it right for Kentucky? And how do we get it done if it is? And that's what I think we need to get back to. And so, you know, I understand what the media wants to portray, and I get that. But, you know, look, when President Trump is right on things, and there are some things he's right on, I'm going to be with him. When he's wrong on some things, and he's wrong on some things too, I'm going to stand up and have the courage to stand up against it.
What would you say, what is President Trump right on? What's the thing maybe most where you see the most alignment between you and President, where you could get along on a specific issue?
Well, there's lots of things, at least what he's talked about. He in the campaign trail, he talked a lot about doing infrastructure. I think we really need not only to fix our 20th century infrastructure, we need to have 21st century infrastructure for Kentucky. There's lots of reasons in Kentucky where, you know what, businesses are not going to go there if they can't talk to the modern world. That's broadband. That's cell phone coverage. The president has talked about this. Mitch McConnell has said it's a non-starter in the Senate. He won't do anything about it. Prescription drug prices, you know. President Trump has actually talked about some reasonable things, bipartisan things. This isn't just the president talking about it. It's many people, many Democrats are talking about this, and some Republicans, too, of getting drug prices down. Reasonable. So be able to renegotiate Medicare, renegotiate prices that they can compete, right? So that it's not just one contract. To be able to re-import drugs across the border from Canada. That's a reasonable thing. Guess who stops that? Mitch McConnell. Well, why? Well, it's not rocket science. He gets $1.3 million over the course of his political career from Big Pharma. You know, he's bought off by that special interest group. So he has no interest in getting drug prices down because it would affect his big donor. And so these are ways that, you know, I think, again, it's about the average Kentuckian and it's about Kentucky values and what people care about and not the special interest groups. That's where I align.
Senator McConnell is a formidable foe. As you know, he'll have a huge war chest. Mm-hmm. If he needed help from outside groups, he would surely get such help.
Yeah.
Is one of the challenges you, or whoever the Democratic nominee is, isn't one of the big things, obstacles to overcome, just convincing the public that such a powerful figure can, in fact, be taken down?
I think it is a big challenge, but I'm no stranger to challenges. I mean, I went into the military and the Marine Corps at a time when a lot of people said a woman couldn't do these jobs. And I ended up, you know, flying fighter jets for my life, as my life's career. So I'm not a stranger to challenges. I've been to 3 combat tours. With regards to this race, I mean, I think that yes, he's got a ton of money. He has built this, and this is part of the problem with money in politics. He has built a system that has unlimited money. And we actually don't know, when you talk about dark money in politics, we don't know where a lot of it's coming from. That's part of the problem. And folks, this isn't a partisan thing. You know, the money in politics that is corrupting and corroding our country, most Kentuckians want us to do something about that. Most Kentuckians want to know where these commercials, who's paying for them? Who's paying for those ads on Facebook? Is that person or entity that's paying for them even an American citizen? Think about that. I actually think this is a nonpartisan issue, just like election security. And Mitch McConnell's on the wrong side of this issue. And I think many Kentuckians get it.
What specific measures do you think Congress should pass, if any, to address gun violence in this country?
Well, I think that we should do things that both gun owners and non-gun owners want to have happen. First of all, I'm a gun owner. I'm pro-Second Amendment. I'm somebody who has shot lots of weapons in my lifetime as a United States Marine. I'm somebody that went to my combat tours, my flying tours, with a 9mm strapped to my chest and a 20mm cannon on the front of my jet. So I'm used to weapons. At the same time, I'm a mother of 3 small children. And I'm very worried about gun violence in America, certainly in schools. And we got to do something about this. Mitch McConnell just hasn't done anything. I think what I could get behind right off the start is better background checks. The House has already passed 2 very reasonable bills for this that most gun owners, as I said, think we should do. And so I think that's just the beginning. That's the start of this thing.
Should there be an assault weapons ban?
You know, I'm not a favorite of taking guns away from people. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. You know, you should be able to have the weapons. That's part of the Second Amendment. I think the key is to focus on people who would do us harm. And that's why, you know, things like red flag laws, that's why better background checks are things that we should have done yesterday.
Is there a possibility that there's a law that's passed, an assault weapons ban, that starting tomorrow, these weapons can no longer be sold? It doesn't necessarily mean you're going house to house, forcibly taking guns that are already, you know what I mean? It can they be sort of grandfathered in a way?
Well, I think that, look, with gun violence being the major epidemic that it is today, I think lots of options should be on the table. I think we also ought to be able to study this so that we figure out what works. I mean, let's look at the data. Right now, we're unable to study it as a national, as a government, because the funding isn't there for the Center for Disease Control and the National Institute of Health to look at gun violence as really a health issue. So that's what I mean. Let's look at what works and then go. But we know that better background checks is something we can all agree on, most of us, and we should have been doing that yesterday. So all the other stuff, let's look at it and see what's going to work.
It's been a while since a Democrat represented Kentucky in the U.S. Senate. Mm-hmm. This is a state that, on the one hand, has many more registered Democrats than Republicans, but apparently many of them either sit out elections or turn out on Election Day, at least at the federal level, to vote for many Republicans.
True.
Is that something your campaign is looking at, thinking about? Is there a specific strategy that you have to get conservative Democrats who maybe voted for Rand Paul, Mitch mm-hmm. McConnell, Brett Guthrie, Hal Rogers, Jim Comer, to put that aside and to actually vote for a Democrat?
Well, and I think it's not a target to any one group. It's my general message, and that same message that really resonated when I ran for Congress, which is, hey, let's get people in office who put their country above their political party. All right. And that is the absolute opposite of what Mitch McConnell does and has done in the past. And it is the biggest difference between myself and Mitch McConnell. For me, it's about my country and Kentucky first. It's about doing what's right. It's about, you know, things like securing our elections. I mean, that should not be a partisan issue. Most of the stuff that I talk about, money in politics, better health care, these really aren't partisan issues. These are things that most Kentuckians want. Why can't we get them done? Well, we can't get them done because we've got a guy who essentially is bought off by special interests. He's funded by the entities that are preventing him from doing anything on so many of these issues that are nonpartisan issues. So, I mean, that is my core message.
This is something that happened this week that I needed to ask you about. The Intercept reported that your campaign manager, Mark Nicholas, has privately boasted about having Matt Jones fired from his Lexington TV show. Jones, of course, is considering a possible run in the Democratic nomination for the Senate race. If he did that, he would be one of your primary opponents. Are those reports true?
Well, the Intercept article, you know, there's a lot of inaccuracies in that article, and I'm not going to go over every single one of them, but I will say that WLEX just came out yesterday and said that no campaign had anything to do with Mr. Jones's firing. And I can tell you that we had nothing to do with Mr. Jones's firing. So, and oh, by the way, if anybody wants to get in the race, they can do that. It's a democracy, and it's the democracy that I fought for. So, you know, anybody can throw their name in the ring.
Your campaign, you know, it got some bad press for what was described as a rocky rollout. There was the back and forth on whether or not you would have voted to confirm Brett Kavanaugh as the U.S. Supreme Court nominee. I'm just wondering, looking back, do you have any regrets about how this thing got started?
Well, look, we raised $2.5 million on the first day, with the average contribution being $34, or right around there. That's incredible. That just shows you the momentum that we have as a campaign, but also the momentum to really get rid of Mitch McConnell. I mean, look, anytime you're a candidate running for office, everything that you say is going to be spliced and diced and analyzed. And you know what? I just got to be who I am and get out there and get my message out there and talk to as many people as I can. I can't control what the headlines are from the media. All I can control is, you know, who I am and what my message is.
If you become your party's nominee for U.S. Senate, would you be okay with outside organizations spending money, maybe a lot of money, in an effort to defeat Senator McConnell?
Well, so first of all, despite popular belief, the national parties really don't do that much. for you. They didn't in my congressional. In fact, the DCCC didn't back me at all until I won the primary, and then they just endorsed me, and that was it. Fundraising for a campaign is really it's a lot of it is you as a candidate, and the great thing about what I saw in the last campaign and this one is that people are so energized by my message that they're willing to contribute $25. And you know what? That veteran who's handing me $25 a month, he's not handing me draft legislation. At the same time, he just wants better government. And that's the difference now that we have in this day and age where you can go online and you can contribute to a candidate that you believe in and really make a difference. That's something that Mitch McConnell has never had to deal with. With regards to, you know, the money in politics, it's absolutely corrupting our country. And you're absolutely right to say that Mitch McConnell's going to have all this dark money and pretty much whatever he wants. And I'm just going to have to compete with that and against that. And I understand that. But at the same time, I have enough supporters that are grassroots that can compete against him. He gets a lot of $5,000 checks. I get a lot of $25, a lot more. And that's America. And that's what's going to make a difference in this race.
Amy McGrath, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here.